Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call. You can call 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. And we're certainly glad to be with you tonight here in northeastern Ohio. It was a warm day today, 93 degrees on my thermometer at home this afternoon. And we had a great day at church today. We had a celebration in our church. I had a 25-year anniversary as pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church today, and we had a dinner after the morning service, and well, it was warm. We had air conditioning, but I don't think it was keeping up. It just was kind of a warm day today, but it was exceptionally warm today. I know some places a lot warmer than 93, but then some places a lot cooler than 93, but we had 93 at least where we're at. But I had a good time. We had a lot of good fellowship and some good food, and it was just good. It was just a blessing to be able to come together and spend some time after church and just fellowshipping and just celebrating 25 years as pastor. So who'd have thunk it? I don't know that 25 years ago I'd have thought that I would be the pastor this long, but well, here we are. And speaking of anniversaries, coming up 2 weeks from tonight, we will be celebrating the anniversary of this program, Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We will have been on the air for 16 years. We'll be celebrating our 16th anniversary. We've got some special things planned for that program. And so I hope you'll tune in. We have a couple of books that will be given away as well. And so I hope you'll be willing, or you'll tune in for that and join a conversation there. Let's see, a couple other things I was going to mention here before we get started. But I think before I do that, let's open our program tonight with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity that we can come together tonight, that we can be on the radio, that you can just use this program to be a blessing, that we can be just used for your glory, that we can point people to Christ that are searching, that we can encourage believers in their walk with you. And Lord, we just want to thank you for the opportunity you've given us, Lord. Bless now tonight for thy glory, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I said, you're listening Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Continue to pray for us. I'm still unable to update the website there. We'll be working on that this week, finally getting caught up with a number of things. And of course, this past week here in Ohio, we had our second primary of the year. We had a primary back in May, but due to the shenanigans of the Ohio Supreme Court and a Chief Justice O'Connor, who's a definite Republican name only, she just monkeyed, I believe personally, in my opinion, unconstitutionally monkeyed with the redistricting maps that our redistricting commission, following the law, drew up, and they were supposed to be, if there was some complaint by the minority members of the commission, it was only supposed to be 4 years rather than 10 years. They were supposed to redo them in 4 years. And she inserted herself in the Ohio Supreme Court into that contrary to the laws and went back and forth. Finally, a federal court got involved. And the end result of it was we had to spend $25, $30 million here in Ohio to run a second primary to do what should have been done back in May. But thankful that people came together and we had the primary successfully this past May, this past Tuesday, and it was a busy day. If you remember on the air last night, we were just finishing up the Summit County Fair, and so it was a busy time, and I got home from the program. I think it was almost 12:30 by the time I got home last week, and so by the time I got to bed, it was after 1:30, closer to 2 o'clock. Had to be up bright and early. We had somebody coming in to do some work, and he said he was going to be there early. He said by at least 6:45. At 6:30, he was knocking on the door ready to come in. And so I was up for that, got all that done. He was done by noon, did a fantastic job. And then, of course, had other things going on. And then immediately that evening had to get ready. I don't know about other states, but in Ohio, if you're working the polls, you have a Monday night meeting on the Monday night before the poll on Tuesday. And so I had to be to that, where we got things set up for the elections. And then I had to go home and get to sleep and get up about 4:30, I think it was, or 4:15 in the morning, so that I could be ready, because we had to be at the polling station at 5:30 a.m., not p.m., 5:30 a.m., so that we could get everything ready to open the polls by 6:30 a.m. And, of course, the polls ran from 6:30 a.m. to 7 p.m., and then after the polls, 7:30 p.m., and then after the polls closed at 7:30, then we had to wrap everything up, go through everything, account for everything, and thankfully everything balanced the first time, and we were out of there by 8 o'clock, returned the ballots and everything, and then by the time I got home, I think it was about 8:30 or something like that, and yeah, it was a busy time. I was tired. And so for most of the rest of the week, and even going into the weekend, I haven't hardly known what day it is. And my sleep schedule's been off, and my days have been off. So I'm hoping that this coming week, finally start to slow down and get back into a more normal schedule. And then, of course, we've got to work on our websites for the radio program and also for our church. And as I said, they're kind of stuck right now. I haven't been able to update them, and I've got to contact the people who host the site, the server, people have the server and all that. And I've come to the conclusion it's a password issue. And so pray for me that I can get that sorted out this coming week, and we can start updating the websites. We're kind of behind on the programs. The last program I think that we uploaded was July the 1st. So we haven't been able to upload anything since then. And the last thing on our church website was around Father's Day. So we still have the Happy Father's Day picture on there. So bear with us, pray for us, and we'll hopefully get those things straightened out. We will be getting to our callers momentarily here, but before we do that, I do want to make mention and certainly a shout out to Governor DeSantis in Florida. The governor has suspended State Attorney Andrew Warren for neglect of duty, and this was announced this past Thursday. And you know, I saw this, and I heard the news and talking about why Governor DeSantis suspended this Soros-backed prosecutor, and I found myself thinking, would that more governors around this nation did what Governor DeSantis did. Governor DeSantis announced that he got rid of him, replaced him, because he was trying to nullify Florida criminal law by refusing to prosecute a number of crimes, which, of course, as Governor said, encourages lawlessness and usurps the exclusive role of the Florida legislature to define criminal conduct in the state. And his order, I've not read through all of Governor DeSantis's executive order removing Attorney Andrew Warren from his job. It's a long executive order, but he was on Fox News's Tucker Carlson program last Thursday, and He was talking about how Warren, like a number of Soros-funded prosecutors around the country, have been taking it upon themselves to determine which laws should be followed and which laws should not be followed. It reminded me of a couple of years ago, I believe it was the summer of 2020, there were a number of riots down in Ohio's capital, in Columbus, and we had a problem where the Capitol building, the Ohio State House, had its security breached. And for the first time, I believe, the only time in Ohio's history, in the history of the Ohio State House in Columbus, we had people who came into the State House damaging and vandalizing and defacing things inside of the State House. Normally, the Ohio State Patrol provides the security for the State House. They had to request backup from, I believe it was either the Columbus City Police or the county police, a sheriff's office, or maybe both. And finally, using tear gas and basically battling in the halls of Ohio State House, they were able to drive the rioters out. And even today, I heard somebody about a month or so ago, about 3 weeks ago, I was down in Columbus for a faith and family values leaders summit, and one of the people that was addressing that was saying that about a third of the businesses around the State House in Ohio are still boarded up and vacant. And when you go around the State House in Columbus, you see that. You see buildings that are boarded up a couple of years later. And so it's a shame. And what happened was a number of the protesters were arrested, but the prosecutor essentially let them all walk, just sent them out the back door, basically. And, you know, this is a prosecutor in Ohio that should have been relieved of his duties. So when I saw this story about Governor DeSantis, who just decided that he had enough. He said he was not going to put up with this. He said, quote, "I wanted to see who was picking and choosing, and this is the guy that all the line prosecutors, all the law enforcement said he thinks he can pick and choose which laws." And he actually signed letters saying he wouldn't enforce laws against transgender surgeries for minors, laws protecting the right to life. And then he has all these policies in his agency that are called preemptive non-prosecution. Governor DeSantis went on to say, no, the law is presumptively enforced. That's not something that's acceptable. And so here today, we made the decision. And Governor DeSantis went on to say that he had all these sheriffs from the area there. He had the former, I had the former police chief of Tampa. There's a lot of line prosecutors in that office that are very happy that this was done. And so we took it seriously. We did a thorough review, and we pulled the trigger today. Well, God bless Governor DeSantis. Thank you for the work that he is doing down there. I would that Governor DeWine would learn from Governor DeSantis and learn how to govern as a strong conservative voice in the State House. Well, I understand there's some differences between Florida law and Ohio law on some of these areas as well, but certainly Governor DeSantis deserves to be commended for stepping in and standing up to this. This is a plot in our country by the globalists, by those who are not friends to this country, those that want to destroy our country. And certainly Soros has spent a lot of money getting these prosecutors into office, and they do not consider themselves to be subject to the state and to the people that they work for. They consider themselves to be answerable to George Soros and the people who fund them. This is why believers need to pray for our country. This is why believers need to be involved in our political system. This is why believers should be running for public office, so that we can be the salt and the light in the world around us that God has called us to be. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air tonight. I believe we've got John in Cleveland, Ohio, calling in tonight. John, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you. How are you tonight?
I am doing well. I'm a little warm. It's a warm night, and the air conditioning's not working in the studio, so it's warm. But other than that, I'm here, I'm awake, and happy to be on the radio.
I don't have air conditioning either, so join the club.
You know, I grew up with no air conditioning, and my parents didn't even like fans. I can remember going to my uncle's house, who lived next door, and he and my aunt always had fans, and I always asked my parents, why can't we have fans? Oh, we don't need any fans. They didn't like fans. They didn't like air conditioning. It wasn't until much later in life that my parents finally got air conditioning in the house, and that was only because of health reasons. But I thank God for air conditioning. But I understand what it's like to be without it. I mean, we never had it growing up, so.
Yeah, especially when it's 93 degrees out, it was pretty bad here in the house
yeah.
today.
And when the humidity's up, you know, because I was telling somebody at church today, I said I can remember when I was working out in Colorado one summer, and I was working for the Forest Service, and I was up in the Roosevelt National Forest. We were up along the Continental Divide. I remember we got done with the area where we were working, and we came back, and we come down the Boulder Canyon down to where Boulder, Colorado was, and the lower we came in the elevations, the warmer it got. We got out in a boulder, it was like 103 degrees or something like that, but it was only about maybe 20% humidity. And I said, so I've been in dry heat, and I've been in damp heat, and I'll take the dry heat anytime over this damp heat.
Right.
But I'm just thankful. This is the first house I've lived in where I've had air conditioning, so I'm thankful for that.
Well, is it my imagination, or do you think this is the hottest summer that we've had?
Oh, no, not at all. In fact, one guy at church was talking about 1988, and I remember this well because I had left the Air Force, and I came back to the United States, and I had been in England for a little over 3 years prior to this, and the first summer that I was back, I just remember that it was so hot. We had temperatures in the 90s. We had temperatures over 100 degrees. And I we didn't have air conditioning or fans. And I can remember I planted a garden, and my parents always had a garden, and a big garden, and I planted a big section of it. And I remember we were so dry that summer. It was like a drought, and it was much hotter. And much less rain, still finds a way to be humid, just like in Florida. It still always finds a way to be humid when it's hot. And so that was a very hot summer. I also remember one summer when I was growing up, we had a hay wagon that had a metal deck on it. And I can remember because we had chickens, who always had plenty of eggs. And my brothers and I actually went out and cracked an egg on the metal surface of the hay wagon to see if it would fry. And it did kind of cook up after a fashion, in the hot sun. So, you know, it doesn't usually reach 100 degrees temperature-wise in northeastern Ohio, but it does on occasion. But then with the humidity and all, it oftentimes feels more than 100. So this is not the hottest by any means. We had some periods of time back in the 50s and even further back going into the 30s where we had much hotter summers than what we have right now.
Okay. So, well, I wanted to congratulate you on your 25th anniversary.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate that.
I had a Bible question.
Yes, sir.
I've always been confused as to why you believe the 6 days in Genesis 1 and 2 are 24 hours long.
Well, two reasons. One reason is the word that's used for day generally speaking, refers to a 24-hour day. That's one reason. And the other reason is that it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day." And then it says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 8, "And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day." And then he says in verse number 13, "And the evening and the morning were the third day." He says again in verse 19, "And the evening and the morning were the fourth day." And then again in verse 23, "And the evening and the morning were the first, were the fifth day." Continues on in, verse 31, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." So, cardinal rule of Bible interpretation is that the plain sense makes common sense, seek no other sense. The plain sense of evening and morning, people would think of the day-night cycle of a 24-hour day. So evening and morning combined with the Hebrew word that typically refers to a 24-hour day makes a pretty good reason for believing that it's a 24-hour day. So six 24-hour days, evening and the morning, well, day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six.
Well, you're leaving out the one day. You're leaving out the seventh day.
Well, the seventh day, but you asked about the 6 days of creation. And right, we assume that the seventh day, of course, was also a 24-hour day because the pattern is already set, and God rested on the seventh day. And so we would have had the seventh day, the eighth day, the ninth day, the tenth day, the hundredth day, the thousandth day, the millionth day, the billionth day. All of them would have been a 24-hour period. And this is also why the Jewish people traditionally counted the days not by midnight to midnight like we do, but from sunset to sunset. The evening, for instance, right now, the sun has set. It's no longer the first day of the week. It's the second day of the week, and the second day of the week extends until the sun sets again. Then it becomes the third day of the week. So even though it's Sunday night, and we consider Sunday the first day of the week, on the Jewish reckoning, because we're after midnight, when the sun set earlier this evening, it became the second day. And they followed the same pattern. And that's another good reason for believing that it's six literal days, because, again, the Jewish people based their reckoning of the passage of time based on this, as the evening and the morning constitute a day, a 24-hour day, or you know, the period of time.
Well, do you think it's logical to say that God needed to rest for 24 hours?
Well, yeah.
He needed to rest for 24 hours?
Well, he didn't need to rest. He chose to rest, but you could say he... let me rephrase my answer to that. He didn't need to rest, but you could conclude, because it depends on your definition of rest as well, he didn't have to do this because he was exhausted. This was something he basically set back, and he said it was all very good, and he wanted to sit back and look at what he created and enjoy what he created. In fact, it says in chapter 2, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had done. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." And what he's saying there is he sat back and everything was complete. So he spent a whole day, just simply enjoying what he created, because obviously what he created, if you go to the other end of the Bible, in Revelation chapter number 4, where the 24 elders before the throne of God in heaven cast their crowns before the throne of God, they say in Revelation 4:11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So God created in that 6 days all things for his pleasure. And so, you know, I do a church newsletter. When I finish the church newsletter, I put some effort into it. And when I complete it, I like to sit back and look at it after I've printed it out. I've got it all complete. And before I pass it out and distribute it to people, I look at that newsletter and I open it up and I enjoy looking at the finished project. I'm, in a sense, resting from my work, but I'm resting in the sense that I'm not doing anything more because I want to take a few moments to enjoy what I did. And I think that's what God was doing here. In addition to setting a pattern for us, you know, to work 6 days and take a day of rest to remember what God has done. So
do you feel that he's still resting or has he resumed work?
Well, he's working right now, obviously. God can rest anytime he wants to in any way that he wants to, but he's actively involved in his creation to this day. You read the Bible, you know, it's filled with things in the Lord God said, or and God appeared. And so we see God doing things, saying things. He gave us the word. Every time a new life is created, that's an act of creation that God is doing. Every single new life is a new creation of God, a creative work of God. So he's obviously working constantly. When somebody puts their faith in Christ, then they too are also a work of God, because when he creates within us a new creature, meaning our old dead spirit becomes alive in Christ, that is a work of God's creative action. It's God working. So God is very busy working has his hand actively involved in his creation. But after the 6 days, he got everything set. He looked back at it and said, hey, this is good. And he took some enjoyment from the work that he did, and then went on to begin doing other things. And it's after that that we begin reading about the Garden of Eden and how God prepared that, placed Adam and Eve in it, created Eve, of course, another work that he did, and then the rest of the Bible, of course, works of God.
It's always been my understanding that after the 6 days that the creation of heaven and earth had been completed.
Yeah.
So I would think that once he rested, that would have been the finale.
Well, yeah, now he sat back and enjoyed what he created. And now that it's created, it was designed to do something. You know, I used the example of our church newsletter again. When I sit back and rest and look and take some enjoyment in looking at the new newsletter, after I'm done with that, then becomes the work of making copies and addressing those to those that I mail it to, making copies and taking it to church, getting it ready to post online. And so I have a lot to do, but the newsletter's complete. And so now I'm using it for the purpose of which I made it. So God completed his creative act in creating the heavens and the earth. Now he's using it. And one of the things that he's doing on an ongoing basis, of course, is creating new people. And all the angels apparently were created at one time, but human beings are created one at a time. Every time there's a conception, a new human being is created. And then, of course, people coming to Christ on a regular basis. So now we're just allowing God's work to be utilized for which he created it. You could buy a new car, and the work is complete on the car, but if it just sits in your garage, it doesn't do you any good. You bought it, it's complete. Now you're going to put it to use by driving it and going places and doing things. So basically God rested and he enjoyed what he did. He had a purpose. He had a plan. And of course, in that plan, Lucifer rejected God. Adam and Eve rejected God. And so God had to go to plan B, which involves sending our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But good questions, John. Appreciate it. We do have another half hour to go. There's a break coming up. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. We'll be here till midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, and we will get you on the air here. Also, remember, check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can link to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, which is the sponsor of the program as well this evening. And you can also, if you're in northeastern Ohio, obviously if you're outside of the area, it'd be kind of hard unless you happen to be visiting northeast Ohio. Check out East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, of course, is a sponsor of the program as well. You can find them at 4889 Turney Road, located right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And if you are thinking about getting into some business of your own, perhaps you'd like to open a pizza shop, and you've looked into some of the franchises and that's just too much, why don't you contact East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 216-341-9100. Talk to Gus. He can help you get set up in your own pizza business, not a franchise, and you may find that as a good opportunity if you're looking for something right now. That's East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100, located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. All right, we're going to get back to our program here tonight, and Again, check us out online, and we try to touch on a couple of different things, different topics on our website. Pray for us that we can get that fixed and get back into where we can update the website. Got a number of updates we need to make, both on the one for the radio program and for our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. Excuse me. And a little bit of frog trying to get into my throat there, I think. But the phone number here is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got John in Tampa. Went from John in Cleveland. We're going to John in Tampa. Welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, I had such fun last week.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah, Johann.
Johann it is, yes.
Yes.
Johann von Sachs, actually. The question I have is about the 14 verses in the Bible that say God will live and dwell amongst his people. And,
okay.
But before we get into that, I want to say that our governor is the greatest governor ever, and he was suggested by Donald Trump to vote for our governor, DeSantis. So the credit goes to Donald Trump for having picked him over any other candidate.
Well, certainly, as I was saying in the beginning, I certainly applaud him for what he had the willingness to do to stand up for what's right. But so we'll keep praying for him.
He'll win the next election. I tried to get a hold of Nikki Fried, which is our agriculture commissioner, about 20 times and tried to tell her that we've got 900,000 tons of the Brazilian pepper tree in the state of Florida, which could heal the whole world because it is the expanded tree of life.
Well, yeah, you had mentioned that in passing last week, and I looked that up. You know, I like botany. In fact, I had a botany minor when I was in college, and so I always kind of interested in plants, and I was looking up the Brazilian pepper tree because it's clearly not the tree of life. The tree of life is described in the Bible and having different fruits, 12 months of the year, and it was located in the Garden of Eden, which was overwhelmed and done away with when the flood there came about, and we'll see it again in the New Jerusalem growing there. But the Brazilian pepper tree is clearly not the tree of life, because the tree of life in the Garden of Eden was blocked by cherubim as well as a flaming sword. And while there are some health facts listed for the Brazilian pepper tree, the Brazilian pepper tree, it's an attractive plant in one way, but apparently it's somewhat of an invasive weed in a sense. It's an invasive species that forms dense thickets and tends to shade out, smother native vegetation, causes a lot of problems. And so it's clearly not the tree of life. If it were, it would be something that people would know. But people have used the fruits from the Brazilian pepper tree. It's like little peppercorns that it grows, and they've used them variously as a diuretic, also to treat. It was a purgative, to purge you from things, diuretic, and I believe that it also helped relieve constipation. So not quite the description of the biblical tree of life, but it is an interesting tree nonetheless. But there's really no way that you can make a case that the Brazilian pepper tree is the tree of life.
I certainly can't make a case. Pastor Al,
yeah.
If you talk over me.
No, I just wanted to get that out there because, part of the problem is with the program, since it's our program, we try to counter false information, and when somebody says the Brazilian pepper tree is a tree of life, obviously that's not true. And because I remember at the end of the program, you were claiming Nibiru was coming around, and again, that's another piece of false information. And, it's kind of entertaining to hear some of it, but factually, you've been kind of off.
Yeah, but if the Brazilian pepper tree is a cure-all for all diseases, including leprosy, that would be the case that I would make for it. it is a cure-all. And because of the programming that it's an invasive species, that's just to program you away from
it. Well, let me interrupt again a second here, and because it is our program and we're paying for it. It's not listed on health sites as being a cure-all. There's a lot of people who go contrary to the traditional doctors and everything to look to native cures and things from plants and everything. In fact, many of our medicines originally came from plants. Aspirin, for instance, because of the black willow, and that's partly gave the name to it. But they used a derivative of the bark as a stimulant and as a tonic. They use it as a diuretic and for treatment of tumors. They used it for gout, syphilis, rheumatism, to heal open wounds. But in reality, I could make a much better case for turmeric or even the common dandelion as being a much more healthy cure-all than for the Brazilian pepper tree. So,
it destroys the DNA of bacteria, fungus, and virus. And if you read the pharmacological review, you'll find out that's how it cures people, by getting rid of the bacteria, the fungus, and the virus.
Well, I could say the same thing for lemon balm or any number of other plants that actively, cinnamon, especially Ceylon cinnamon as opposed to cassia cinnamon. Cassia cinnamon is what you usually, I believe, is the one you usually find in the stores because it's more aromatic. But Ceylon cinnamon, especially in conjunction with black pepper, and turmeric is a very effective agent against disrupting viruses and bacteria and things like that. So none of that makes the Brazilian pepper tree the tree of life. It just simply means that there's some health benefits to that, just like there is to thousands, if not millions, of other trees and shrubs and plants and all kinds of things. So, you know, and it's not strange, because God did create the various plants and everything for healing. And again, the Brazilian pepper tree does not match the biblical descriptions of the tree of life. It's just not. I know you may believe that and have your reasons, but as I said last week, I have to default with the Bible. And the Brazilian pepper tree does not equate to the tree of life in the Bible. It may have a tremendous amount of health benefits and medicinal uses, but that doesn't make it the tree of life any more than it makes the dandelion plant the herb of life or anything like that. It's just a healthful tree, but it is an invasive weed in South Florida. That much is true.
It cures leprosy.
Well, that may be true, but it doesn't make it the tree of life. It's not the biblical tree of life.
The river and in the center of the city. So if the center of the city is Tarpon Springs, was the ancient Garden of Eden. And
black willow grows, I interrupt you again, black willow trees grow on either side of the stream and sometimes in the center, and they grow in the city, and that's what we got aspirin from. And black willow, chewing on the twigs of a black willow tree is what people traditionally use to relieve headaches and toothaches and a host of other health reasons. But that doesn't make the black willow tree the tree of life any more than the Brazilian pepper tree. It's so you're not going to sell me on that one, because it's just not biblical. So, but do you have anything else you want to add?
No other plant destroys the DNA. Oh, that bacteria, fungus, and
I would disagree with that. There's a lot of plants that have been studied that have antiviral properties that disrupt the DNA of a lot of viruses as well as some bacteria and things like that. So again, you're not making a case. You're just going further afield from the Bible. And it was very apparent in our conversation last week that you favor Greek mythology over the Bible. And so if that's the case, you know, I mean, you're welcome to believe what you want, but it's just not true.
The archaeology matches the Greek.
Well, again, you know, it's not true, and I guess we're not going to get there. I mean, I like to have people call in and challenge on conflicting things, but if you know, we're talking about things that obviously are not true, it's really not a benefit to our listeners. So, you know, I do appreciate the conversation, and I do appreciate the call. And, you know, I know that Johann slash John, who calls himself a psychic archaeologist and the king of the Swiss, and believes that he's a direct descendant of Isaac, that's where the name Sax comes from, and so he believes that he was led by God to discover the gates of the underworld in his backyard, or at least the backyard of the place that he moved into, and he's convinced himself that that Tarpon Springs is the site of the Garden of Eden, and that Atlantis was, I think he said, in the Gulf of Mexico and all that. But none of this matches up with the Bible, and for our listeners, the reason that we allow people to come on sometimes and talk about these things is because, well, you know, this is Sunday night, late Sunday night, and Monday morning's coming. And what's going to happen? People go to work, and they're at work, and people bring up weird things. I remember one time when I was in the Air Force, I was sitting in there, and I know we got a caller we're going to get to in just a moment, but I remember I was sitting there in the area where we worked, and just down the way in another area, we had some people talking about the afterlife. And this one woman very seriously said, well, when I die, I'm going to come back as a flock of butterflies. Not one butterfly, but a whole flock. And people were going, oh, yeah, well, that makes sense. That's reasonable. And a lot of people hear stuff like that. And my thought when I was listening to that was, well, what if a bird flies into the flock of butterflies and eats a few? I mean, do you lose part of your personality or something, depending on which butterflies they ate? And I had an opportunity to interject something saying, well, I believe that when you die, you come back as, you don't come back as anything, because absent from the body, according to the Bible, for the believer means to be present with the Lord who's in heaven. And if you're not a believer, absent from the body means to be present in hell. And people looked at me like I had three eyes. How could you possibly believe something so ridiculous as that? We're going to listen to this woman expound upon why she's coming back as a flock of butterflies, because that makes sense. And so we talk about some of these things, and we let people come on, and every once in a while, Nibiru gets brought up, and like I said, it's been a few years since it made its last round on the internet, and it apparently is coming back again. And people are going to go to work on Monday, or they're going to go to school on Monday, and they're going to have somebody talk about some kind of nonsense like this. And it's just this, I did some looking into the Brazilian pepper tree, and it's just nonsense to even begin to try to claim that this is the tree of life. In fact, God said in Genesis that he excluded man from the garden lest they eat from the tree of life and live forever. Well, there's a lot of people who have used the Brazilian health tree or pepper tree for health benefits, and they're not living forever. So clearly it's not the tree of life. And also in Revelation and chapter number 21 here, it talks about the New Jerusalem. And as it's talking about the New Jerusalem here, it goes into chapter 22, and it says in verse 1, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life." This is what John tried to say was going on there in the Tampa area, "which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." And people have access to this in eternity in the future. This is not the Brazilian pepper tree. I guess I allowed John to come on and talk about that because I was just so astounded that somebody would try to make this tree equate to the tree of life. It just doesn't fit. And it's because people do not want to accept the Bible. And I want to encourage God's people to read the Bible and understand that when people come up with weird stuff like that, that you can go back to the Bible and you can challenge them. You don't have to be cowed by these people. Generally speaking, if you let them speak a little bit, they'll give you enough to show why you shouldn't believe them in the first place. If I remember correctly, the video that I watched of the King of the Swiss saying that the gates to the underworld was in his backyard, that it's been there since the original Garden of Eden. And then later on the same video, he admitted that it was probably built 150 years ago. Now, okay, by my reckoning, the Garden of Eden and the fall was just a tad over 150 years ago. Give or take, several thousand. But anyway, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we've got another caller here, and Nancy's been waiting patiently for us tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Your two previous callers were very interesting.
Well, thank you for waiting and being patient tonight.
But your response is even more interesting.
Well, that's why I entertain the calls, because it gives me something to talk about and hopefully to refute.
Well, very, very interesting and very knowledgeable, and I totally believe everything you said. But my drink, my favorite drink for this antiviral and antibacterial that I only take 2 tablespoons twice a day, I call it my drink of life.
Yes.
Bragg's apple cider vinegar.
Apple cider vinegar. Yeah. The unfiltered.
Yeah, the unfiltered. I have been so much healthier when I had 2 tablespoons twice a day. Of course, you have to mix it with a drink, some kind of drink, and then giving up refined sugar. I know that's easy to say, but I have pretty much done it. And when I do that, I'm so much healthier. I don't get the bronchitis all the time. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to dwell on that.
Well, and I was going to say, while you're saying that, many people have pointed to the health benefits. Remember the old saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away? And the claims that he made for the Brazilian pepper tree, I could make claims and claim that the apple tree is the tree of life. I mean, there's so many benefits with the apple tree, and not the least of which is the cider vinegar that's made and derived from the sap of the apples that grow on the apple tree. But again, these are things that God created, and to ignore parts of the Bible, to pick and choose what you want to make it say what you want it to say, is just, it's poor reasoning, it's poor logic, and it's certainly poor theology.
Amen. Amen. Now, my comment and question today is regarding Satan. Can he just come after one person at a time? I've heard different preachers say that. And if it is true, where in the Bible does it back up that statement? I know the demons that also defected from God, you know, 1/3 of the angels, that they come after millions of people. And I was wondering if they think up their evil attacks against people, or do they get their orders from Satan?
I believe that the Bible indicates there's a certain amount of order in the angelic world. I talked last Friday on the program about in Daniel chapter number 10, where Daniel has a vision and he prays and fasts for 3 weeks. And then finally an angel breaks through, says, I was sent the very day you started praying and fasting, but it took 3 weeks because I was opposed. And as you read through that, he was opposed by a fallen angel, and they're referred to as like the prince of Persia and things like that. And then he says the chief prince of your people, referring to Michael the archangel, came and assisted him, and he was able to break through with the answer. And of course, Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 talks about battling against spiritual powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. So we do see these fallen angels afflicting large groups of people, even nations, and influencing the leadership of those nations. And I read a very interesting article talking about the demonic positions that the Democrat Party has taken lately, and suggesting that the leadership of the Democrat Party on a national level is being manipulated by the devil. I didn't say they're demon possessed. I said they're being manipulated very strongly by him with this desire to kill unborn children right up into and after birth, and many other things, mutilate young children and things. But we also see them occasionally targeting individuals. And we see that in the book of Job where, time's sake, I've only got a couple of minutes to go, but in the book of Job, chapter 1 and chapter 2, you see Satan talking with God, and you see in that conversation, in both cases, that Satan was actively targeting Job. And then in Revelation, where we read about the war in heaven, where the devil and his angels are cast out of heaven, meaning their access to heaven, access to accuse us before God is cut off. We read that in, I believe it's Revelation chapter 12, where it says that, let's see here, and I know we're rapidly running out of time. It says here in Revelation 12, verse 12, "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." And he's also called the accuser of the brethren. There we are in verse 10. That's what I was looking for. "I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." This is why in 1 John chapter 2, the beginning there, the first couple of verses, talks about Jesus being our propitiation, or I'm sorry, our advocate with the Father, because the devil and the other fallen angels accuse us before God the Father, and Jesus stands up to say, yes, sin demands a payment, but there's the blood. I paid for that sin. His sins are forgiven. And so good question, but we're out of time right now. Thanks for listening. Join us next time. God bless.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.